When you think of iconic guitars, generally speaking, what comes to mind is, or are, electric guitars. You've got Gibson Les Paul, Fender Strat, Telecaster, Jazzmaster. When you think of iconic acoustic guitars, I can really only think of two. Well, obviously the Martin D28, and you maybe want to lump in the D18 in that department, but in the acoustic guitar realm, I think the most iconic guitar is the Gibson J45, and I've got great news for you, because today's episode is dedicated to the Gibson J45, and we're going to kick things off with the five reasons why you must own a Gibson J45, or a Gibson J45-esque type guitar. More on that a little bit later, but let's dig into these reasons. Coming in at number five, and I think this is the main reason why the Gibson J45 is so iconic, is its sunburst. When I think of acoustic guitar and when I think of sunburst, immediately my brain goes to J45. It's elegant, it's classy, it's sexy, it's eye-catching. Yes, the burst is one of the reasons why you should own a J45. The fourth reason you should own a J45, or rather I should say coming in at number four, is the nice and comfy scale length that is offered on a J45. Yes, 24¾. No, this is not the only guitar with this scale length. However, it's one that is most commonly associated with the scale length, and I think it's one of the reasons you should own one, because that shorter scale elicits a really nice kind of springy feel in the strings and kind of elicits a much warmer tone than you would expect. More on that tone in a second. In fact, that brings me to the next reason you should own a J45, and that is indeed the tone. Yes, coming in at number three, the tone of a J45 is very much a reason you should own a Gibson J45. It's not too loud, it's not too quiet, it makes a great companion to a singer-songwriter's voice. It's great to flat pick, it's great to finger pick, it's an all-around kind of Swiss Army knife of guitars. In fact, I would even venture to say it's becoming more and more popular in the bluegrass and flat picking realm, and you'll see a fine example of that a little bit later in the show. But ultimately, the Gibson J45 offers, well, I guess you could call it the Three Little Bears version of tone. You know, the one bear's porridge was too hot, the other bear's porridge was too cold, and then I think it was the little tiny bear who had the porridge that was just right. Well, that's the Gibson J45. It's the porridge that's just right, but it's way more attractive than porridge. And coming in at number two, the number two reason you need to own a Gibson J45 is the price. Now, before you go, oh, those guitars are so expensive, in the realm of all solid wood guitars, in the realm of guitars within its category, it's priced quite nicely. A little above $2,000 retail, which means on the street you could probably get it anywhere between, I don't know, $1,600 and $1,800, which, given that it offers all solid wood, a kind of its own history, its own sexy look, the comfort, and ultimately the tone, I think it's priced pretty nice. Again, it's that Three Little Bears situation. It's not too expensive, it's not too cheap, it's right in the middle, and which gives it its name, the American workhorse, which I've just alluded to something that we'll get to a little bit later. And the number one reason you need to own a Gibson J45 is the fact that it is indeed an icon. It's history. The Gibson J45 not only embodies guitar building history, musical history, but also even American history. I think all along the lines, you can look at the Gibson J45 and it's kind of played a role, whether it's the popular music of the day, some sort of, I was gonna say social justice warrior, but that didn't happen until much later. Some sort of activist, I'm alluding to Woody Guthrie here, of course, but even later, just in shaping the way music went and kind of the whole singer-songwriter explosion. Even during the 80s, when the Gibson J45 had found itself not in favor and actually off the Gibson guitar's price list, it came roaring back with a vengeance, and now we celebrate it. I can't believe it has been so long since the Gibson J45 was introduced. In fact, that will lead me to your trivia question just a little bit later. All right, last week on Acoustic Tuesday, we took a look at the 2019 Acoustic Life Holiday And there's always more going to that. There's actually more bonus codes and promo codes going to be listed on the website. So go to acousticlife.tv, AT119, if you want to see the Acoustic Life Holiday Gift Guide for 2019. And there's some great savings that you can take a look at there. I'm talking percentages off. Santa Cruz is running a special through the 15th of December. That's if you buy two sets of strings, you get one free, which is pretty awesome. And you can also subscribe to get strings on a regular basis as well. All of that information's there. So again, head to acousticlife.tv/AT119. What else did we do last week? Oh, we looked at John Stubbing's book, The Devil Is In It. We listened to The Dead Tongues, and we had a chance to hear Larrivé's brand new Tommy Emmanuel signature guitar. This week on Acoustic Tuesday, we've already started our Gibson J45 celebrations with five reasons that you need to own a Gibson J45. We're also going to look at a documentary, a forthcoming documentary about the J45. We're going to listen to an artist that flat picks a J45. And to wrap up the show, I'm going to give you five non-Gibson J45s that you absolutely must play because they give the Gibson J45 a run for its money. All that's coming up right after this. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite. Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 120. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for the week. But before we dive into the nitty-gritty details of that, I've got some Gibson J45 trivia for you. Here is your question. In what year was the Gibson J45 introduced? Was it A, 1938, B, 1942, C, 1945, or D, 1947? Go ahead and ponder that, and at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you that answer. In fact, it's a fairly interesting answer with some acoustic guitar mythology and lore all wrapped in it. Nice, tightly woven blanket of acoustic guitar fuzziness, if you will. Now, before I go any further and before I dig into the acoustic guitar geek list of the week, I want to know, did I miss any attributes of the Gibson J45 that you think are reasons that people need to try it out or own one? I've listed five of them, but I'm sure there are many more. So in the comments below, please let me know what you think. What's the deal with the Gibson J45? What are some attributes that I left off my list but need to be added to it? Go ahead and leave a comment below, and I cannot wait to read those. In fact, the comments section's been fairly lively on the last couple episodes of Acoustic Tuesday. In fact, I've got some wonderful comments to read here in a bit. But before we do that, I want to show you a documentary that's not quite out yet, but you may be able to help shape it. And yes, the subject matter is indeed the Gibson J45. The documentary is entitled The American Workhorse, The Gibson J45 Story. I believe that's the full title. But without further ado, let's actually look at the trailer, and then I'll give you some more details on it.
There's something so mysterious about acoustic guitars. You always notice them if they're in the room or on the wall or in the hands of your favorite musical hero. They call to our senses. It's amazing how these pieces of wood, metal, and plastic can come together to create music, to give life to songs, and to change the world. This is the story of the American Workhorse.
My name is Ted Wolfers, and my team and I have traveled the world to bring you the stories of guitarists, singers, songwriters, independent musicians, world-famous rock stars, and their J45s. As well as musicologists, professors, the luthiers who build the instruments, the guitar shop owners who sell them. We'll be visiting factories and exploring the impact this guitar has had since World War II.
We'll be figuring out just what makes the Gibson J45 the American workhorse. Hopefully you can help us get there. Do you have a story to share? We look forward to bringing this film to you sometime soon. Until then, keep on strumming.
Where are you out of?
Los Angeles.
Where?
LA.
Oh, okay. You flew in all the way for this? Wow. I don't know if we want to say what you want to hear.
It is appropriate, coin the workhorse.
What is it about a Gibson J45 that's always attracting your customers?
Well, it's sort of a working man's guitar, and these guitars were built very well, and they're very durable, so you can beat the hell out of them.
This is from 1949, and I'm convinced whoever had this in West Virginia used it as a murder weapon.
Well, I like the J45 a lot. That's the model you see the most, for sure, I think. I think anybody would say that.
People don't talk about the J50 nearly as much as they talk about the J45, and the only real difference is the sunburst.
I lay in bed at night thinking, like, why didn't I just like sell my car or something like that? You know, like, why didn't I? Because that's the guitar I think about all the time. It's driving me crazy. I have to find a J45.
And so this has been my main touring acoustic guitar for fly dates, for van dates, for travel dates.
Like 200 shows in a year, and I think I played every single one of those shows that year with the J45.
I think, you know, when I got a J45, I feel like the guitar took me to the next level.
When I first caught wind of this film, I was immediately super excited because so often I think guitars just get lumped in to the history part of a documentary, and seldom are they the main focus. And here is one single model, kind of following it through its years of first being introduced in that mystery year that I'll get to later, and then how it how singer-songwriters, how actual performers and musicians see the guitar themselves, their experience with it. And I think the Gibson J45 is probably one of the very few guitars that can elicit such a strong emotional connection. Obviously, you know, the pre-war Martins, the D-18s, the D-28s, and things like that certainly can do the same. But the Gibson J45 kind of, it's Gibson's icon in the acoustic guitar world, I think, along with that and the J200, but definitely the J45 because I think, plain and simply, I think more people played the guitar. So if you have a Gibson J45 story that you want to share, I want to encourage you to reach out to the filmmakers. If you go to acousticlife.tv/AT120, you'll be able to learn more about the documentary, but there's also a link to the website. And when you go to that website, you can actually contact the filmmakers and say, hey, I'd like to share my story about the Gibson J45, what it means to me. And also, I'm hoping that as an acoustic guitar geek community, we can collectively light the fire under the butts of the filmmakers to push this film out. It was originally announced that 2019 was going to be the release of the documentary. However, here we are closing out 2019, and I have not seen it yet. And I'm just really excited. This is certainly something that I cannot wait to lay my eyes on. So hopefully we can get together and encourage them to move forward with their project. Now, before I go to some comments from last week's show, 2 weeks ago, the show 2 weeks ago where I asked you about guitar gratitude, there's another guitar-related, Gibson J45-related book that I've reviewed some time ago on Acoustic Tuesday that I just want to mention for the sake of your own edification, and that's called Kalamazoo Gals. I featured it back on Acoustic Tuesday episode 13, yes, back in the fledgling young early days of Acoustic Tuesday, so make sure to check that out if your Gibson J45 curiosity is sufficiently piqued. It's about the wartime and what the Gibson J45 went through. I'll just leave it at that. You should check out the book. Now let's get on to some comments from previous Acoustic Tuesday show, episode number 118, and I got to start off with a hockey-related comment. You know, the Hawks were on a little bit of a winning streak, and I was really excited. Notice I said were, past tense. As of recent, they've just been destroyed by the Colorado Avalanche two games in a row, which hasn't been fun to watch, but, you know, that's karma. That's karma coming back at me because I, you know, was getting excited. So this first comment comes from Heartbreaker Guitars. And he says this, I believe it's Brendan commenting. He says, great show per usual, Tony. By the way, my wife has a bone to pick with you about your Golden Knights comment. Dude, I'd be worried if I were you. Well, I am. worried because I know that both Brendan and his wife are rabid Golden Knights fans, and I certainly don't want to rock the boat. So I'm sorry for that, but I'm still a diehard Hawks fan. I can't take it all the way back, but I can just take the initial sting back. I know it's hard when the Hawks beat your team because the Hawks right now, they're trying real hard. Let's leave it at that. All right, I want to knock into the next series of comments, and this was in response to the guitar gratitude that I was trying to get us all to collectively reflect upon, and holy smokes, I read some incredible comments, and I'm super excited to read these to you. First one comes from Christopher Paul, and he says this, hashtag guitar gratitude. My grandfather was always playing guitar at his home and with friends. He wrote his own beautiful songs and embellished old songs with cool arrangements. I didn't appreciate it when I was young, but as I came into my 20s, he taught me basic chords, and I would play with him a little. As he aged and couldn't play anymore, he gave me his Gibson J45 that he always used. That's pretty fitting for the Gibson J45 episode. I started playing as much as I could after he passed away as a way to remember his legacy. Over the past few years, with the help of Tack and Tony's inspiration, I've become a real-life guitar player. So when I'm asked if I'm a guitar player, I can confidently say yes. Well, thank you very much, Chris, for leaving that comment. Pretty awesome story. And it was just serendipitous that the J45 came up. Pretty cool stuff. The next comment comes from Isidore A., and this is another guitar gratitude to the therapist that helped me after multiple TBIs. My fret hand stopped working, and I lost a lot of math skills, which includes reading music, and have short-term memory loss. They helped my brain start communicating with my physical issues, and I'm able to play again. Granted, I'm only 40 to 50% of what I used to be, but it's way better than not playing at all. Well, I can say that is indeed true. So congratulations on that, Isidore. Pretty awesome stuff. Our next comment comes from Corey W., and he says this. My grandpa Wingate, I grew up listening to my grandfather play bluegrass, gospel, and a lot of Johnny Cash on guitar while my grandma accompanied him on either the mandolin, washboard, or spoons. Although when I first picked up the guitar at age 16, I was very much into Metallica. I have since gotten back to my roots. I currently play acoustic guitar in the worship band at my church and have a newfound appreciation for bluegrass because of Acoustic Tuesday. Indeed, I can still rock, though. Well, Corey, I'm happy to say I've tried it out. You can be a metalhead and still be an acoustic guitar lover. So I'm happy to say that your guitar gratitude lands on very, very listening ears, very, very perked up and listening ears. I'm just trying to say I'm a metalhead, too. That's all I'm trying to say. The next guitar gratitude comes from Boyd A., and his guitar gratitude is for his brother. He says, my brother Royce is my inspiration for starting to play guitar. He was a great player, and I always looked up to him. He passed away about 5 years ago, and I was given one of his guitars. I started with some group lessons and have never looked back. I love that guitar, and it makes me feel close to him and makes me want to strive to be as good as he was. I've been at it for 5 years, and it has been great. I'll be joining Tack very soon after the holidays, and that will be my next big shot in the arm. Loving my acoustic life. Thanks, Tony, for providing this platform for learning and camaraderie. Well, thank you for leaving your guitar gratitude, Boyd. It's a great story. I absolutely love it. And hey, as sometimes these guitars, these simple physical objects, it's funny because they take on an emotion all their own. Which is so cool. And your comment certainly rings true, or helps that ring true, I should say. Our next comment comes from Julie I. Her gratitude has got a great story attached to it. She says, I met this guy in the Navy many years ago who had a motorcycle, a guitar, and a darn cute face. We started hanging out, and he made me buy a guitar, a Red Dread Gibson. Months after, I had to sell it for school and always remembered how he treated music in his life. I picked up the guitar again 25 years after meeting him, and his smile often comes to mind along with how he described what holding this instrument meant to him. I get it now. Such an awesome story, and I love the feeling that's attached to that. And then lastly, some guitar gratitude from James Lash. He says, Tony, thanks for asking this question. I had not really thought about to whom I owe my gratitude for my musical and, more importantly, guitar gratitude. As I look back, I can say beyond a doubt, my brother, Tom, has been the most influential and supportive of my guitar journey. I grew up the youngest sibling of a musical family with my brother, Tom, as the oldest boy, 7 years my senior. By the time I was 6, he was playing drums professionally. Yes, you did the math correctly. He was 13 and making money as a drummer. Even though I had begun in music as a singer, following in my father's footsteps, when I was 12, I expressed interest in the guitar, and Tom picked up on that right away. He convinced my mom and dad to give me my first, that I still have, guitar. His support continued even when I had shown interest in bass at the age of 16. While on family vacation, Tom was back home working with his band, but arranged with my dad to get me my first, that I still have, bass for my 16th birthday upon our return. Through Tom, I grew up around many top-level musicians who shared their wisdom and talents freely. Some of these folks went on to be big deals in the industry, and even though I have not elevated my guitar skills to that lofty echelon, I still love to play. Continue to learn every day, and hope to until the day I die. Thanks, Tom. You're grateful. You're guitar-grateful. Big little brother, Jim. Really great stuff there, and I want to thank everyone who took the time out to share their guitar gratitude back on episode 118. In fact, there's probably, I want to say 40 or 50 guitar gratitude comments, at least at the taping of this show, and I am floored. It's such an inspirational read and so cool to get in touch with our own guitar gratitude, so I would encourage you all to check out that episode if you haven't done so yet, because there's some wonderful stories waiting for you in the comments. And also tied to that episode, if you left a hashtag guitar gratitude in the comments of episode 118, you'll be entered into a giveaway to win an Envitone Model Duo internal mic and DI, which I'll be giving away on next week's episode. So I'm excited to announce that winner as well. All right, coming up, this is something I'm excited to share with you. Coming up is my list of non-Gibson J45s that you need to check out. Now, you might be speculating what's on that list, but I'll confirm here in a moment. And also, I have your trivia answer coming up. But first, I want to listen to an artist that plays a J45 in a genre that isn't normally associated with a Gibson J45. So rather than me gush about this artist, I'll just let you hear him, and then you'll be like, oh, he's pretty darn amazing. His name's Russ Barenberg, and he's playing a Gibson J45 in this clip of him playing St. Anne's Reel with a bunch of some very talented friends. Here it is. So let's first talk about the guitar that Russ is using. Russ is using a Banner Gibson J45, which was produced during the wartime. I don't know the exact year of his particular J45. However, I do know that it has one of the weird anomalies that was pretty common during production of J45s in that time. I want to say it either has a maple back and sides, a multiple piece back, maybe a multiple piece top, and quite possibly a multiple piece neck. Now, this is all speculation, I'll have you know, but I remember reading in an interview somewhere that it has something weird about it. And right now, my recollection says the maple back might be the case, but I don't know that for sure. But I should just say this. It's an awesome Gibson J45. You heard it, and we're going to hear it again. In fact, this next clip is him playing solo, and I wanted to feature this clip because you get a great sense of the guitar's tone, but also Russ's technique. And I'll expand upon that here in just a second. But first, let's listen to him play a medley of tunes entitled Keep It Up and Prince Charlie. Here it is. That the guitar sounds amazing. Let's get that out of the way. Now let's focus on Russ as a guitar player. Technique-wise, stunning. Obviously, super clean player. But more on the creative end of things, his melody creation is something that always amazes me. And I know I use that word a lot, but wow, listening to some of his songs, it's just he created the melody, the sequence of notes that you're listening to, and it's just, it's magical. I feel like that's really one of his superpowers. I feel like if Russ Barenberg was like the guitar version of the X-Men or the Avengers, his superpower would be creating these incredibly hooky and detailed melodies that just don't get out of your head. So Russ is indeed he's a superhero. He's a guitar super, an acoustic guitar superhero. But also noting in that clip his use of palm muting and almost allowing the melody to fatten up a little bit because of the use of palm muting and how that changes the dynamic of the whole song. It's just an awesome clip. And again, I want you to check out that full thing, and you can do so at acousticlife.tv/AT120. I've got one more clip for you, and this is a song that Russ wrote after John Lennon passed away. And I was originally just going to play the song, but then Jerry Douglas introduces Russ Barenberg, and there's this cool exchange between the two, not only about the guitar, but about the song. So rather than me introduce the song, I'll just let Jerry and Russ do it. Here they are.
Well, we're going to play one of, this is a song written by Russ Barenberg right over there on the end, playing that guitar, that beautiful old Gibson guitar. I told him we could get him a new one. You know, that one's not very shiny.
I don't like the shiny.
It doesn't do anything like this. But Russ is really known for writing very, very beautiful melodies. And this is one of them we're going to play for you right now. This is a song called For JL that he wrote for John Lennon on the night of his passing, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was the next morning. I was sitting in my living room with my guitar in my hand and heard the news on the radio. And I just played these chords and hummed this melody. And it's hard to believe it was 29 years ago. Can you believe I was old enough to write a tune 29 years ago? Don't answer.
Yeah, good. See, look, we're leaving that one alone.
All right, this is for John Lennon. We'd also like to dedicate it tonight to John Martin as well.
That clip was taken from, I believe the concert was entitled either Celtic Crossroads or Celtic Connections, but the entire concert is very much worth your time if you have a chance to find that on YouTube. I just found that clip as I was doing some Russ Barenberg research, and the instrumentation and the artists gathered for that particular concert are an acoustic guitar geek's dream. So make sure to try and find that if you can. To check out all those performances in their entirety, please go to acousticlife.tv/AT120. And there's not only those performances, but links to buy albums. And if you're wondering which albums to buy, it's a pretty short list, but I think you should own all of them as an acoustic guitar geek. In fact, I'll shortly reveal which one is my absolute favorite. So, starting in 2007, the most recent release is entitled When at Last. And then we move on to 2006, and that's a release entitled Skip, Hop, and Wobble. That's with Jerry Douglas, Edgar Meyer, and then, of course, Russ Barenberg himself. And I want to say that Sam Bush makes an appearance on that album as well. And then released in 88, Moving Pictures, which I actually found at a garage sale. I was overjoyed that I found this at a garage sale. I never thought I would find a record of this caliber at a garage sale. And I did, and I was pretty darn happy. I was happy also that I just knew who Russ Barenberg was. And then his initial release in 87 entitled Halloween Rehearsal. Now, You can find Russ on a ton of different albums. These are just attributed to him as a performer and songwriter. He makes his way on a bunch of different records, so make sure to check those out. In fact, the Transatlantic Sessions, he's a major player in that. So if you hear guitar in the Transatlantic Sessions, chances are there's a good chance it's Russ Barenberg. I know he was there for the first couple of shootings of that particular series as well. Now, my favorite album of all of those is Skip, Hop, and Wobble, without a doubt. I'm a huge Jerry Douglas fan. That's what pulled me into that album. And then after listening to the album, it's like, wow, who is this guitar player? And lo and behold, it is indeed Russ Barenberg. And I'm still, it's eating me up that I don't know what the anomaly is on his J45. You know, most J45s are mahogany, which is why I think maple is sticking out in my mind, because it was very much a non-J45 type J45, if that makes any sense. But if you know, you can always leave it in the comments below. I would love to hear from you. All right, moving on. Let's visit One Guitarsonal. This comes to us from Australia, from down under, the land down under, from Bannister, New South Wales, Australia, to be exact. And this is from Dave L. He's celebrating his Guitarsonal with us, and he's got a Fender Strat, a Maton EBW 70SC, a Cort Earth 100F, a Taylor GS Mini, and a Sigma GJA SG200. I want to thank Dave for sharing his Guitarsonal with us. And if you're thinking, gosh, I'd love to have my Guitarsonal featured, well, that's actually pretty easy. Get yourself a Guitarsonal shirt. There's a link right beneath this episode. And take a picture with your Guitarsonal shirt on amongst all of your guitars, and then submit it at acousticlife.tv. There's a submit link in the top menu, and you'll be featured on an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. But you might be thinking, okay, I'm just one person. I can't get all my guitars together. I can't even take a picture of all my guitars. I just have too many. And it just sounds like a big hassle. Well, don't worry. You can still celebrate your guitar geekdom with Acoustic Tuesday merchandise. Again, there's a link for the full store right beneath this episode. And you can buy shirts. There's coffee mugs, stickers, phone cases, pillows, you name it. It's all on there and all supports the Acoustic Tuesday show. And in doing so, once you get that Acoustic Tuesday merchandise, I don't want you to think features are just for Guitarsonals. No, 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 no. We celebrate guitar geeks of all kinds. In fact, if you just have an Acoustic Tuesday shirt, I would love for you to submit your picture at acousticlife.tv. Show us where you're traveling, show us what guitar you're playing, but most importantly, show off your awesome Acoustic Tuesday merch. And again, you can do that at acousticlife.tv. All right, moving on. The time is here. You know, when I first started outlining this episode, it looked entirely different than it does right now. We were talking about the episode in a meeting, and I thought I had a couple different things chosen, and the folks here at the studio are like, why don't you just do a Gibson J45 episode? And I'm like, well, I like Gibson J45s. They're iconic. I think they're really incredible guitars, but there's a lot of other options as well. So I thought, I know. I'll add my list of my favorite, my personal favorite non-Gibson J45s. These are J45s, J45-esque type guitars that I think give the modern day Gibson J45 a complete run for the money. Not saying they're better or worse, just alternatives to try and ones that I happen to really like. In fact, the criteria for this list was that I had to have played a guitar for it to make this list. So, without further ado, let's jump into the list. Coming in at number 5 is the Eastman E10 SS. Some of you are familiar with Eastman guitars. They make fantastic instruments for a really great price. The E10 SS shares almost all the specs of a Gibson J45, the shorter scale, slope shoulder dreadnought, Sitka spruce top, mahogany back and sides, and it's done in a beautiful way for a really, really, really nice price. It comes in two varieties, the standard nitrocellulose lacquer finish and then the varnish finish. In fact, I think the varnish finish just adds a little bit of, can I just say mojo? I know that can't live on a spec sheet, but let's just say it's got that extra mojo. In fact, I liked it so much, I wanted you to see it being played. So here is the E10 SS varnish being played. Thank you. folks at the Acoustic Shop. And I have to say, you know, that video hit me for a couple of reasons. And the reason why I wanted to feature it, the number one reason was the fact that you've got an incredibly loud projecting mandolin right there. And then the Eastman E10 SS varnish just holding its own, just adding this really nice, lush bed of rhythm. And I think that's a testament to how awesome the guitar sounds, and some pretty fine players, I might add. So our next non-Gibson J45 that I think you should absolutely consider, you should absolutely try if you ever get a chance, is the Bourgeois Slope D. I absolutely love Bourgeois guitars. And yes, I am 100% biased. I have three, and I look at them in awe. I play them in awe. They're a joy to play. I think not only is the fit and finish second to none, I think the wood selection is incredible, but not only the wood selection, but the wood treatment. The true kind of geeky deep dives that Dana Bourgeois does on wood and how it's going to react, each piece being different and treating it, voicing it to its best capability for what it can offer. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Dana has a much more scientific approach than that. But really some fantastic instruments coming out of Lewiston, Maine. And their Slope D is one that has the J45 specs, but it's Bourgeois' twist on it. And I found a great, great, great player playing a great, great, great Slope D. And that is Trey Hensley. So let's have him go ahead and melt our faces right now. The affected version of the acoustic guitar and then have it morph into the non-affected version. I think that really adds some punch, but ultimately, wow, talk about an amazing looking guitar. Love the Firestripe pickguard. And Trey is just a fantastic player. His right-hand control and speed and efficiency is just second to none. I know this is about the guitar, but Trey was here 2 years ago for the Acoustic Live Festival, and everybody that watched him play, he was playing his Henderson Dreadnought at the time. Everybody that watched him play literally left the concert hall just kind of questioning their life as a guitar player in a good way, in that kind of inspired, I can't believe someone can actually do that kind of way. But back to the guitars. Coming in at the number three position is a guitar made in Texas, and it is a Collings CJ35. I was lucky enough to play one of these a few years ago, and what impressed me with this particular J45 type guitar is that it had this crispness to it, this airiness to it, that I think I've come to associate with certain Collings instruments. But to find one with a short scale, 24 and 3/4, that still had this crispiness and this kind of edginess to the notes was a great find. So this guitar had to make the list. And again, this is the Collings CJ35, and here's me playing that very guitar. Understated that I just saw again and I was reminded of was the fact that the headstock's bound. I know it's little. I know it doesn't affect the tone at all, but looking at it is just kind of like you give it one of those head shakes like, yep, they did good. They did good on that one. But overall, tonally, that guitar is incredibly impressive. So that had to make the list. Another one that had to make the list was from a former Gibson luthier who's actually just down the road here in Bozeman, Montana. And that is Kevin Kopp. Kevin Kopp makes some exquisite instruments, has some unreal stashes of wood. And this particular guitar, the K35, is one that I look at between the hand-rubbed finish and just the overall craft and attention to voicing the guitar in a way that's extremely powerful. When you hear the bass on this guitar, you're going to be like, whoa, that's a real healthy, defined bass. And that, to me, is one of the reasons this guitar had to be on this list. So this is the Kevin Kopp K35, and here I am playing it. Absolutely wonderful instruments coming out of Kevin Kopp's shop lately, and the K35 tops my list. I've played a few different ones, and each and every time they wow me, because generally I don't associate a shorter scale guitar with having power, but he has found a way to balance that comfort and power. Usually those shorter scales elicit a much warmer, less direct, less pronounced tone, whereas he's found the, I don't know if it's the eye of Newt or the you know, tail of Crow that he's thrown in the magical soup here, but it's pretty darn amazing what he's doing with instruments. A complete side note, if you're wondering how to not sit and play a guitar for extended periods of time, I showed probably the worst posture ever in that video. Don't model me. Don't model that video. It's as if I didn't have a neck, and I just kind of was like a under the bridge kind of hermit type playing the guitar. Don't do that. Okay, there, my safety warning is done. So coming in at the number one position, and this is one that, again, I'm very biased. I've played this guitar. I own this guitar. That's the Santa Cruz Vintage Southerner. Wow, I don't know where to start with this instrument. The Sunburst, although not a copy of the J45, kind of darker Sunburst, is gorgeous in and of itself. Whomever is doing the spray work at Santa Cruz, hats off, unreal. They're double tapered bracing. The comfort of this guitar is unparalleled. And I noticed it immediately upon playing it. It's got a thicker, kind of a fuller C profile neck, but the neck is finished in a matte finish. So it's very comfortable to play moving up and down the neck. The shorter scale, again, super comfy to both finger pick and flat pick with. The headstock's classy. It kind of, it harkens back to some of the history that the J45 conjures up, and it's all Santa Cruz's. And I just think this guitar is, it has to be on your list to play, bar none. Between comfort, between tone, between, again, fit and finish. I've said this about Bourgeois and Collings as well, but Santa Cruz, I mean, at the top of the list. They're just unreal. So here is the very Santa Cruz Vintage Southerner that I own, and I want you to hear it because it needs to be on this list. It's a well-deserved member of this list. I think the crucial part of this guitar that on the spec sheet you'll notice is the shorter scale length. It's 24 3/4 scale length, and man, it is so comfortable to play. Stretches are not an issue on this guitar, and it really has a lot of warmth and mid-range to offer. It's just it's one of those guitars that you feel like you can do anything with. As I finger-picked the guitar, I thought this is perfect for blues, kind of old country blues. It has this growl, this projection, this presence in the mid-range that almost is it's almost barky in a way. And then as I flat-picked it, I noticed that, you know, the flat pick, you don't really have to dig in that hard to this guitar to pull sound out of it. It's very responsive, and it's very dynamic in its tone. I mean, talk about different tones. You know, you strum over the sound hole, this nice warm blossom, and then back by the bridge, you get this nice direct kind of crystalline quality. And that's true on many guitars, but it's more exaggerated on this particular guitar. So that guitar is in the number one position for a very distinct reason, and that I think it is the best example of a guitar embodying J45 specs, but also having its own unique voice. That's why it's in the number one position. I, of course, will confess I have the most experience with that guitar, but looks to sound, it's a complete jaw-dropper, and I absolutely love it, and I think you should definitely check it out, even if it's just playing it. Even if you're not in the market, I think it's a guitar that needs to be played if you ever have a chance to. So that's the Santa Cruz Vintage Southerner. And speaking of Santa Cruz, I again want to mention that currently they're running a deal through the 15th of December. If you buy two sets of their parabolic tension strings, you get a third set free, which is pretty nice. If you change your strings every month, I mean, that's pretty good. You can buy, let's see, you buy, I guess, eight sets of strings. You get four free. I think I did my math. I'm not a math guy, but hey. You can do the math. However often you change strings, you get a bonus set, which is pretty awesome. And during the giving holiday season, you can choose to give that to a friend or not. Totally fine with me. Whatever you choose to do with that extra set of strings. And as I mentioned before, they're also offering a subscription where you just sign up and the strings get delivered to your door. You don't have to go out to your store, although I encourage you visiting your local music store. It's kind of nice to know that your back is covered when it comes to string stock. All right, so again, the criteria for that list was that I had to have played the guitar for it to make the list. That being said, I know there's a bunch of Gibson J45 type guitars, non-Gibson J45s, that I haven't had a chance to play, but that I really wanted to add to the list. But given the criteria, I couldn't. So here are some, I'm gonna call them very honorable mentions, because had I played them, I have a feeling they'd be on this list. The first one is a Huss and Dalton DS Crossroads. The next, a pre-war Model J. That one I'm just drooling over, by the way. Lots of video watching on that one. Next, Preston Thompson Slope Shoulder Short Scale. I've had a chance to play their Slope Shoulder body with a standard scale, 25.5, but never with the 24.75. So it was a technicality. I couldn't add it to the list, but I wanted to mention it because they're one of my favorite builders as well. And then lastly, the Guild DS240 Memoir. Be curious to get Guild's take on a slope shoulder style, particularly reflecting the Gibson J45 specs. So there you have it. Those are my non-Gibson J45s that you should absolutely check out because, well, it's just cool to hear how different manufacturers interpret specs, interpret history, and ultimately try and carve out this fine balance between paying tribute to the Gibson J45, but also making it their own. So it's pretty cool. Pretty cool dynamic. So with that, we're about ready to wrap the show, but I'm sure you're wondering what the answer to your trivia question was. So that being the case, I'm going to go ahead and read that again and then give you the answer. In what year was the Gibson J45 introduced? A, 1938, B, 1942, C, 1945, D, 1947. Well, if you said, wait a minute, I can't give you the answer, because I have somebody here that's going to give you the answer. Carl Kamen from Chicago Music Exchange, who actually purchased a vintage Martin Singolo 18 from, I found this video. He's reviewing a Banner Gibson J45, and he just absolutely lays out the history for us. So here's Carl from the Chicago Music Exchange.
The J45 was released in 1942, and that was the start of what's now referred to as the Banner era, which went from that time until 1946, when Gibson stopped using the ever-famous, only a Gibson is good enough, Banner logo. 42 to 46 was a wartime period for us, so the Kalamazoo factory was being run almost exclusively by women at certain points. And because of the war, we had several wartime shortages on materials like spruce used for tops or mahogany or metal that might have been used for truss rods as well. So everyone is different. Some of them might have a mahogany top or a maple back inside. Some might not have that truss rod I mentioned. So important to note, this one does have a spruce top. It's got a mahogany back insides, and it does have the rod as well as the rectangle bridge. Which I love personally. If you look at this one closely enough, you might notice it's actually a slightly different shape than a current J45, or even probably the J45 that was made before and after it. It's just got a slightly more pinched waist, which is just testament to how many things were being done by hand. And because of it, every single J45 that got turned out at this period of time is 100% its own, and I've never played one that disappointed me. This one's been through hell and back.
So yes, if you answered B, 1942, You are correct. But let me expand on that. I found, through some more digging, I found a little bit of extra information. I'll get to that. The Gibson J45 was introduced in 1942 to replace the inexpensive Great Depression-era flat-top J35. The J45 standardized the company's approach to the Dreadnought guitar with a list price of $45. It nonetheless initially only varied slightly, with strengthened internal bracing and a new teardrop-shaped pickguard. A headstock decal with the Gibson logo replaced the old stark white silkscreen Gibson. It also had a more rounded baseball bat-style neck, as opposed to the V-shape of the J35 neck. That being said, Gibson and acoustic guitar lore suggest a more fuzzy introduction date. Here's what Vintage Guitar Magazine reported on. The exact date of the first J45 is actually uncertain. The first entry in Gibson's shipping ledgers is August 17, 1942. And the reason for the uncertainty is the listing of a handful of J50s starting 6 weeks earlier on July 7th. The J50 would be the natural top version of the J45 and would have a triple bound rather than a single bound top. However, there are some early J45 examples with the triple bound top, a spec that would not be standard until 1950. So the first J50s could be J45s, or Gibson could simply have been uncertain about where to price the new model, $45 or $50. Curiously, the J50 does not reappear in the ledger books for more than 2 years. I found that fascinating. In fact, a lot of times when we're talking about dates on certain guitars in Gibson's history, you have the suggested date, maybe the serial number's accurate, then you look at the ledger, the shipping ledger, to see if that's accurate. So kind of an interesting time to introduce a guitar. But we'll go with 1942 because that seems to be the general consensus and maybe the safest documented bet. All right, well, holy smokes, this tribute to the Gibson J45 is coming to a close. I want to thank you for sharing your time with me today and celebrating the Gibson J45, both the Gibson J45 and the non-Gibson J45. But with that being said, let's take a sneak peek into next week to see what's going to happen on Acoustic Tuesday. I'm going to announce the winner of our Guitar Gratitude giveaway. We'll have a listen to a folk singer from the UK who's been influenced by John Renbourn and Nick Drake, and we'll go through a slew of additional acoustic guitar goodness. That's all coming up next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And then, of course, for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, please visit AcousticLife.tv, where you can do a deep dive on anything I've ever talked about during the show. Again, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your acoustic guitar geekiness. And remember, guitar geeks unite. Cheers.